Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Welcome to our study of some things you need to know about faith. In the New Testament, faith is one of the key messages and really one of the key words. The word faith occurs some 243 times in 227 verses in the New Testament. That's a lot of times that faith occurs in the Bible. I know it's an important topic, for Christians are encouraged to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. We're encouraged to carry the shield of faith. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. And we are encouraged to be faithful until death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. With so many usages and so many beautiful themes about faith, let's take a few moments to understand some things God wants us Christians to know about faith. First of all, let's understand what faith is not. Faith in the New Testament is never just a theory or a notion. That's not what faith is. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Sometimes I hear people talk about faith and they'd say you just have to leap out there on faith. Well, that's not really what faith is. For Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things not yet seen, the evidence of things that we may not know about. It's substance and evidence of things that I've not seen firsthand. It's the evidence of things that we may not touch or be tangible, but there is evidence and substance to faith. And we'll talk about some of those in just a little while, but understand that faith is not a leap into the dark, something better felt than told. That's not what faith is. Faith in Scripture is not opinion. That's your faith, this is my faith, and he's got his faith. Well, when someone says that, what are they talking about? That's your opinion, his opinion, and my opinion. That's not what faith is in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, God's Word's already settled in heaven. If faith comes by hearing the Word of God and it's already settled, then it's not based on opinion. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's truth, it's evidence, it's substance, and in all honesty, in all kindness, when it comes to faith, it doesn't matter what I think or what somebody else thinks, but what does the Word of God say? Faith is also not based on human creeds or tradition. Jesus taught us about tradition. Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9, Jesus said, well did Isaiah prophesy about these people, saying, they draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but in their heart is far from me. Why? In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Jesus said these people were vain and they were hypocrites because they exalted human tradition and creed above the teachings of God. But you know, as I think about faith, faith is not just a mental acceptance of something. I know that's the case. For the Bible says in James 2 and verse 19, even the demons believe and tremble. Do they mentally accept Jesus as the Son of God? Absolutely, to the point that it causes them terror. They tremble because of that. They quake is kind of the idea. But do they? Would we say that demons are faithful, that they have true biblical faith? No, because although they accept the fact, that fact is never put into action in their lives, and they definitely would not be considered as having faith. Well, we ask then, what is faith? How could we give a good biblical definition of what faith is? Faith, from Scripture, is assurance and conviction. Remember again Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things not yet seen, the evidence of things hoped for. It's substance, it's evidence, it's assurance. Think about the example of Abraham and Isaac. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 following, God takes his son, Abraham takes his son, his only son of promise, Isaac, up there for sacrifice. Now, according to Hebrews 11, verse 17 through 19, Abraham was so convinced and had so much faith in God, so assured in his faith, that he realized even if he killed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. He was that sure, had that much faith in the promises of God. And so it's an assurance. It's a conviction. in what God says. Faith in the New Testament is also obedience. Think about these verses. Romans 1:5 and Romans 16, verse 26 both say this. For the obedience of faith. That phrase occurs at the beginning of the book of Romans and at the very end of the book of Romans. What's Paul trying to tell us from the outset and at the conclusion about faith? It's the obedience of faith. Faith is including obedience. John 6, verse 29, Jesus talked about belief, and He said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him who sent you." Jesus taught us there that faith includes obedience and trusting in God. And mere belief, mere the idea of accepting something, that's not faith. Faith we would also define as trust. Acts 27, verse 25 is a great example. Paul is in a ship headed to Rome. That ship has met a great storm, so much so that they're throwing the cargo over, they're lightening the load, and they don't know what they're going to do. The sailors look like they're going to be destroyed. And Paul receives a vision that night, and that vision tells Paul everybody's going to be okay. Loss of the ship, no loss of life. Acts 27, 25, Paul says, "Take heart, men. I believe God that it'll be just as He's told me." That's what faith is. Faith is taking God at His Word and absolutely trusting what God tells us. But faith is not faith or belief alone. Faith in the New Testament is always a conviction put into action. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20 gives us an example of that. Let's say that you've got someone who comes in and they're needing food or clothing. They're destitute of the daily needs. They don't have food, they don't have clothes, and so they say, "Can you help us with food and clothing?" Now, let's say that you're just a supposedly a faith-only Christian. What could you do to that person? You couldn't give them anything. That'd be an action. But James says, you say you've got faith, I've got works. The two are not mutually exclusive. What would you say to that person? God bless you and good luck. That's in essence what James has you saying in James chapter 2. But true faith is a faith that actually is convicted, I need to help this person, and then actually takes that conviction and puts it into action and does what God tells him to. Takes care of the poor. James 1:27 helps those who are in need. Galatians 6 and verse 10. But now that we understand some biblical definitions of faith, let's talk for just a moment about the necessity of faith. Is it essential that I have faith to please God? Absolutely. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that believes, he that comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." I can't approach God without being convicted. God is, and have faith in Him. And so it's impossible for me to really please God without Bible faith. Of His own command, of His own disciples, Jesus commanded faith. John 8:24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe," and it's the word, same root word as faith, pistis, "unless you believe that I am He, you'll surely die in your sins." You cannot be saved without faith in Jesus as the great I Am, the Savior of the world. Remember Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 39? Philip has been teaching the Ethiopian eunuch the gospel. Evidently, he's got to the point of baptism. For in the distance, this man's heard the lesson. In the distance, he sees water. Here's water. What hinders me? Peter says, or Philip says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." I can't please God. I can't obey God's plan of salvation. I can't be right with God without true biblical faith. In fact, it's necessary for salvation. Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Have faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "By faith or by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I'm saved by the very grace of God, but also by grace, listen, through faith. I have to have the conviction and the obedience to trust God and take Him at His Word. In fact, it's the righteous who live by faith. Galatians 3, verse 11, "We live by faith." It's that faith that sustains us. It's that faith that causes us every day to put our trust and our hope in Almighty God. Well, if that's the case, if faith is so necessary to pleasing God, then surely a person would want to know, how do I get faith? This faith that you're talking about, where does it come from? How do I get it? Well, the Bible clearly tells us about that. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I want you to notice this verse. The Bible says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. If faith comes by hearing, then I've got to hear. What do I need to hear? Well, the text tells us, I've got to hear the Word of God. And so to get faith, the only way in the Bible that I'm ever told how to get faith is in Romans 10, 17. For today, it's by hearing the Word of God. What's that mean? I've got to listen. I've got to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I've got to search the Scriptures daily. Acts 17, verse 11, as a newborn babe, I've got to desire that pure milk of the Word. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, I've got to continually grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, and I want to hide God's Word in my heart that I may not sin against Him. Psalm 119, verses 10 through 12. And so how do I get faith? The more I read God's Word, the more I study my Bible, the more my faith goes up. And the more I'm richly blessed and increase in my trust in God. Now, in the first century days, there's no doubt that faith was produced by seeing a miracle. The Bible tells us as people saw the miracles of Jesus, faith was produced in them. If you had been in the crowd and you had seen that lame man who everybody knew laid at Solomon's gate and was there every day asking alms, if you had seen that lame man jump up and run and walk, well, you'd have got faith too. If you had been there when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and you saw a man bound in burial clothes come out of the grave, well, you'd have had faith too. But now, do those miracles exist today? The Bible tells us in John 20, verses 30 and 31, truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. Listen, but these signs are written that you may believe. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We're not living in the day and age today where modern miracles exist like they did in the first century. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10 says, prophesying, miraculous working, tongue speaking, when that which is perfect had come, the partial. Prophesying miracles and tongue speaking, they'd be done away with. Well, do we have the perfect today? Absolutely. James 1:25 says, we now have the perfect law of liberty. Jesus taught us the Bible, and the miracles in it are designed just as well to create faith in us. And so I get faith, not by holding my hands up in the air and saying, God, give me faith. Rather, I turn my eyes toward the Word of God. And as I study, as I trust it, as I put it to use in my life, the more my faith increases every time. You know, friend, this is a great incentive to read your Bible every day. If hearing the Word of God produces faith, and if the more faith I've got, the more I'll trust and take God at His Word. Oh, how I need to every day study my Bible and grow in my grace and in my knowledge of God. You know, here are some benefits. As we think about faith and what it is, let me give you some benefits. Let me give you maybe some incentives to increase your faith. What comes with faith? The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 6, that with faith there is a host. A working faith produces a host of benefits. It's not circumcision, but it's faith working through love that avails or overcomes. Once I put my faith to use, there are multiple benefits it gives me. Here are a few. The Bible tells us that by faith we get the victory. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, this is the victory we have, even our faith. My faith in God and my ability to trust Him, that gives me the great victory. Victory over what? Victory over sin. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Romans 6, 23. Acts 2, verse 38. Victory over self. I stop living for self, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, and I start being a light for Jesus every day, Matthew 5, 16, and ultimately, the victory over Satan. Hebrews 2:14 says, He, Jesus, through death, overcame him by the power of death, and is all their lifetime held in bondage. Jesus defeated the devil. And John says this, He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. 1 John 4 and verse 4. But naturally, the greatest benefit of our faith is that the end result of faith is the salvation of our soul. 1 Peter 1 verse 9, Bible says in no uncertain terms that the end result of our faith is the salvation of our souls. What's the greatest benefit? If I live a life of faithfulness, and if you live a life of faithfulness, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to live with God in that beautiful place on the other side. You know, faith has the power to accomplish things that only the Lord and His power can do. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20 and in Matthew 21 that even if we've got faith just as a mustard seed, and Jesus is using a figure of speech here, I understand that. You can say to this mountain, be moved and it'll be cast into the sea. What's Jesus saying? That you can really move mountains? That's not His idea. His whole point is to use this hyperbole, this example, to show the power of faith. With faith, I can accomplish great things, so much greater than casting mountains into the sea. I can overcome sin, and I can overcome Satan, and I can eventually go to that wonderful place called heaven. Now, let's hold up for just a moment some people who I can relate to as men and women of faith. You know, when you talk about any idea, it's always good to get a mental image. It's always good to look at someone and say, there's that person, there's that pattern that I can follow as an example of faith. Here's one. Hebrews 11 verse 4 says, Abel, he overcame by faith when he offered a more righteous sacrifice to God than his brother. Think about what it must have taken Abel to do that. Here you've got Cain and Abel, sibling rivalry. One is a man of the dirt, one of the ground, one is a hunter. And so God has evidently required a sacrifice from Abel that is righteous. 1 John 3 verses 11 through 13 records his sacrifice was righteous. Two men come. One knows he's doing right, one knows he's not. And Abel, even though he knew it'd make his brother mad, even though he knew it might cost him his life, he had the faith to do it anyway. That's the kind of faith God wants us to have. Hebrews 11 teaches us another great lesson about a person of faith, and that was Noah. Noah, by faith, built the ark. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. You know, don't you know people mock Noah? What are you doing building an ark? Why are you out there doing that? And the text seems to indicate in Genesis 1 and 2, all the way up through Genesis chapter 6, that it may not have ever rained down before. And Noah's out there building an ark? Why? Preaching for 120 years? Get in the ark and save yourself? And yet Noah, even though people may have laughed, even though people may have mocked, and even though it was an evil world that God wiped out for their immorality, he did it anyway. I need the faith of Moses. Moses, Hebrews 11, 24 and 25 says, by faith, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses gave up sin. There was a sense in an immediate impulse satisfaction, impulse sensation fulfillment in sin, but Moses looked beyond the impulse into the distance by faith. And he said, no, I'm going to suffer doing right rather than enjoy for a moment living in sin. Friend, that's real faith. The faith to look ahead into the distance and say no to the immediate impulse of the flesh because of what's in hope for us, even to suffer. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 30, that the walls of Jericho fell by faith. By faith, the Scripture says, they encircled the walls for 6 days. On the seventh day, they shouted, they stomped, they blew the trumpets, and by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Well, did their stomping or did their shouting or did their circling cause some kind of activity in the ground? No. Their trust in God. Doing what God said was faith. How did they get the gift of Jericho? Jericho, God said to Jericho, God said to the people, I'm going to give you the city of Jericho. The moment God said it and they initially accepted it in their mind, was it theirs? No. They had to walk around for 6 days. on the seventh day. They had to walk around seven times, blow the trumpet, stomp and shout. And when they had done exactly what God said, their faith was real faith, and the walls fell down. Faith is never just saying, I believe. That's not faith. That's demonic. James 2, verse 19, even the demons believe and tremble. But now, as we're thinking about this idea, let's address a major false teaching about faith. Martin Luther and many denominational teachers today claim that all you have to do to be saved is have faith. This doctrine is known as faith only. Some call it the Roman road to salvation. There are various names that it may go by, but it basically says to be saved, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to know where. All you've got to do is believe in Jesus. Friend, the truth on the matter is, in the Scriptures, listen carefully, the words faith only are only used one time. Now, it's as though on every page of the Bible, I open my Bible and here it says on three or four pages, all you've got to do to be saved is believe. No, it's not there. The only time faith only ever occurs in the Bible, did you know God says the exact opposite of what millions believe today? Listen to James chapter 2, and I want you to notice what the Scripture says in verse 24. James says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not," listen now, "not by faith only." Faith only occurs one time in the Bible, and it is the exact opposite of what millions of people are told today. Why is that? Because in the Bible, as we've already seen, in the Bible, faith is never just the light bulb coming on, just the accepting of a fact. Remember James 2:19? The Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. If faith is faith only and is just a mental acceptance of a fact, then did you know that doctrine has all the demons in heaven? Well, are the demons going to be there? No. Where are the demons going to be? The demons are going to have a front row seat in the halls of hell along with all others who just believed. All I've got to do is believe in Jesus. Friend, that won't save a person. That's not God's way, God's plan for salvation. And so, what does the Bible teach to be a person of faith I've got to do? Well, no doubt you've got to hear the Word of God. As we've already seen, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've got to hear what God says. But it isn't at that point that I'm a person of faith. I then have to hear that fact, and I have to commit to it. I've got to believe in Jesus. There's no doubt belief is essential. Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll surely die in your sins. I cannot be saved without believing, committing my life to the fact Jesus is God's Son. He is the Savior of the world. But is that where it stops? No, we've already seen it's not faith alone. What else must I do? I've got to be willing to repent. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Acts 3, verse 19, Peter preached, repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. Repentance is a changed will that leads to a changed way. I've got to change the way I think and then change the way I act by turning to God's way. And then, of course, a person must make that good confession. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 through 39, Romans 10, verse 10, 1 Timothy chapter 6, Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, all illustrate that I've got to confess Jesus with the mouth as the Son of God to be saved. But does it stop there? Not according to faith. If faith comes from the Word of God, then faith insists that I must be baptized to be saved. You know, a lot of people say, well, this is a work. Did you know belief's a work? John 6:29, Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He sent. Is it a work for God to do? Of course not. It is a work from God for me to do. It is a condition. And people say, you can't be baptized, that's a work. Friend, the same argument condemns belief. Because belief is a work just as well. John 6:29, baptism isn't something I do to earn my salvation. Baptism simply is meeting God's conditions, just like believing, repenting, or confessing. But listen to what the Bible says. Jesus made it so plain you need help to misunderstand this verse. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. What did Jesus say there? both belief and baptism are to be saved. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." John 3, verse 5, Jesus said, "Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Acts 22, when Paul was told in Acts 9, "You go in the city, be told you what you must do." What was that essential thing Paul had to do? Here it is, Acts 22:16. "Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." But friend, one of the clearest teachings in the Bible about baptism is found in 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Peter here discusses the essentiality of finding God's way of salvation. And in 1 Peter 3, 21, he says this, 1 Peter 3, 21, "Baptism does now also save us." Friend, how much clearer could God have made it if He wanted to? For God to make it essential, that I understand that it's essential to be baptized, what would God have to say? We'd have to say something like, "Baptism saves us." And that's exactly what He said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And so we ask you today, friend, are you a person of faith? Are you a person who has committed himself or herself to the Word of God? You take God at His Word and you live your life in view of that every day? If you're not a person of faith, we want to encourage you to be one. Won't you visit the Church of Christ in your area? In the Lord's Church, you'll find people who are striving to be. They're not perfect. Nobody is. But they're trying to be people of faith. Visit the Church of Christ in your area. And if you're not a Christian, study with some of our members. Study with some of the members of the Lord's body so that you can see what God says you need to do to become a Christian. And then may you every day live your life in such a way that one day you can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."